querido. You think you can conquer? You think you can conquer lust? You think you can conquer anger? Pride? Greed? Illusion? No mortal has the power to conquer the power of Maya. Only Krishna can conquer. Even the greatest, most powerful demigods and material nature conquers us through these qualities that you are speaking, by capturing our minds with her soldiers. But we can only be conquered if we allow ourselves to be conquered. When we turn away from Krishna, then all of these qualities take our lives. They take control of our lives. And the only remedy is to turn to Krishna. But we have been serving these enemies for countless births. We have become such intimate associates of these enemies for so long that there are hard, fast relationships and attachments between ourselves and the bad qualities of our hearts. When we start to turn to Krishna, gradually we sever these relationships. You have been a devotee for maybe 5 years. How many years have you been calling yourself a devotee?
5 years.
5 years. And you've been calling yourself a devotee of Maya for millions of births. 5 years is not so much. If it takes 5 lifetimes, that's very small time. But if you just endeavor sincerely to be Krishna conscious, in this one lifetime, Krishna will bring you back home, back to God, if you are genuinely sincere. So that is our only concern, that we are aspiring with real sincerity and honesty to try to be Krishna conscious. And you have to just leave the rest to Krishna. When he so decides that you are really dedicated and sincere, then he can release you. That is our faith.
That means our sincerity will be judged by Krishna, not by other devotees?
Yes, by Krishna.
So what way we can do to Krishna that we are sincere? Or we can claim?
Continue on. Continue on to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness and try to humbly serve the devotees. Birth after birth after birth. You have betrayed Krishna for millions of lifetimes. 5 years is nothing. We should be prepared birth after birth after birth to surrender to Krishna, with no expectation of any results. Why should we deserve results? If someone kicks you in the face every day of their life and then one day they say, I'm sorry, is it that easy? We have offended Krishna for birth, millions of births. And we have consorted with his enemies for millions of births. To become free from that takes time. And according to our quality of desire to surrender to Krishna, Krishna Krishna responds to our devotion. And little by little he gives us progress. If he gives it to us too fast, we will take it cheaply. Surrender means enthusiasm and patience. Patience means I am unqualified. If it takes millions of births to get out of this, I'm willing to wait. But I will go on with my service with great enthusiasm.
In all other births, other than the human being, we also offer Krishna.
Hmm?
In the births, other than the human being birth, we also offer Krishna.
Definitely. Definitely. The spirit soul is trying to enjoy independent of Krishna's desires. You take that birth because of a massive amount of offense to Krishna. You take a lower species. And in those lower species, you don't even have the choice to turn to Krishna. Because you've disregarded that choice so vehemently. We've showed Krishna that we don't even want the choice anymore. Only then do we take a lower species. Krishna is simply giving you what you want. That is to the degree that people have turned away from God in this material world. And now 5 years, and you're thinking, why am I not a pure devotee? We've been cultivating kama, krodha, lobha, vatsara. We've been cultivating these things with our life and soul for millions and millions and millions of births. And now 5 years of chanting Hare Krishna, we think everything is going to be erased. If you can chant the name of the Lord once purely, everything is erased. But we have so many impurities that it's very difficult. But we should be striving for that day when we could chant the name once purely. It may take many births till we can chant that one name purely and be liberated from all our previous conditionings. But we have the patience. We'll diligently and enthusiastically perform our service no matter how long it takes. Because Krishna will rescue his devotee in the end. If you don't have patience, that means you are not surrendering. That means you are simply doing business with Krishna. Krishna does not want business ladies. He wants devotees. Devotees are willing to serve him without any expectation except the continuance of service. And we pray for purity because that will be more pleasing to him when we can serve him with a pure heart. Krishna can take away the shackles of lust and greed when we really show him from the core of our heart that that is what we want. But unfortunately, it's not really what we want. We still have so many attachments, and we still want to cling to those attachments. We want a little Krishna and a little sense gratification. So Krishna will give you a little Krishna and a little sense gratification, according to your desire. And when you really want Krishna and nothing else, then you have to be willing to pay some token price for the greatest treasure in all creation. And that token price is that we continue our devotional service even against all odds. Surrender to Krishna means enthusiasm and patience. Five years is nothing. 100 births, 1,000,000 births is nothing if that's all it costs to get Krishna consciousness. That is patience. If you want to get such a cheap, useless thing as a PhD, you have to go to school for almost 20 years. And in another 20 years, you die and it's lost. Huh? We try so hard for such a mundane thing of this world. But when it comes to an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, after 3, 4, 5 years, we think, why don't I have it? Because it's the greatest thing, and you have to pay the greatest price for it.
Sometimes over the course of a life quest, we think, oh, I know this already.
Tells you to wash your hands before you eat. You know it. But when you come to the dinner table without washing your hands, what will your mother say? What will she say? So what if you say, well, I already know that. What will she say? If you may know it, but unless you do it, you have to keep being reminded. So we're being told you're not this body. From the first day we come to Krishna consciousness, we're told you're not this body. Give up sense gratification. Chant the holy names purely. But are you acting without any attachment to the body or the senses? Yes? No? So therefore you have to be reminded every day. And if you say, well, I already know that, but your knowledge is theoretical, until we realize that we have to hear it every day. We hear every day Krishna is God, but we think, I already know that. But still we have not given our life to Him. Still we don't love Him. So we must be reminded every day, we're naughty children. Our mother and father tell us, but still we do what we like. So out of their mercy they keep telling us again and again and again. A good parent does not give up on their child. They keep reminding them. So Krishna's a good parent, he keeps reminding us. So every time we hear a class and we hear the same thing we heard before, we should know, really, I've heard it, but I don't know it. If I knew any of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we would be liberated. If we knew any of it, we would be liberated. We've heard it, but we don't know it. We haven't realized it. So we must hear it again and again. And we must strive to practice it again and again.
I have another question.
Just like if you're in the fifth grade or fifth standard, you hear so many teachings? But if you don't pass your exams, what happens? You go back to the fifth standard. And then you hear everything all over again. And you say, I've already heard this. I already know this. If you know this, why don't you pass your exams? If you don't know, you have to hear it again till you pass your exams. And so we pass the exam of remembering Krishna at the time of death. We do not graduate. We have to keep hearing these lessons again and again and again.
Transcendental sound vibration. Well, sometimes when we're chanting, we're not quite saying, pronouncing the mantra correctly. Is that not transcendental sound vibration?
If you're trying to chant sincerely, it is transcendental. What makes it transcendental is when Krishna enters into it. Example is given that there is bullets that shoot and bullets that do not shoot, they only make noise, blank bullets. They sound the same, but one has potency and one does not have potency. When the holy name is chanted sincerely through the lips of one who is aspiring to be a devotee, then Krishna agrees to appear within his name and makes that vibration transcendental. But when the same syllables are chanted by someone who has no devotion, who has not received the mantra from a proper source, it sounds the same, but Krishna is not there. So even if it is chanted incorrectly, if we are thinking of Krishna sincerely as we are chanting, it is a transcendental sound vibration. The smartas consider that everything is based on proper pronunciation, but the Vaishnavas understand that everything is dependent on the sincerity of our heart and our devotion. Krishna is not concerned with proper pronunciation. Krishna is concerned with our devotion. And part of our devotion is trying, according to our capacity, to offer Krishna the proper pronunciation. That is part of our devotion. So we must try to pronounce perfectly. But we should not judge another person's chanting. If a person is sincere, Krishna will respond. The dot. Mukunda Dutt, when he was young, he was associating with Mayavadis who were discrediting the form and the personality of God. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, at one time, when he was giving benedictions to all his devotees, he was ignoring Mukunda Dutt. And Mukunda Dutt, Mataji, this is for you. This story is for you. Hari Bol. He was weeping. Why he is neglecting me, my lord? And Srivas Pandit said, "My Lord, Mukundadat is just close by behind this pillar weeping because you are ignoring him. Please give him your mercy." And Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He said, "Because this Mukundadat, he is like someone who first touches your feet and then hits you on the head with a stick. First he is praising Krishna, then he is associating with people who are blaspheming Krishna. Therefore, I will never see him, I will never associate with him ever again." And Mukundadat was weeping and crying. And Srivas said, "But he's such a nice devotee, never again?" And Lord Chaitanya, in great anger, he said, "After 10 million births, I will not see him." And Mukundadat became ecstatic and started dancing in total joy, calling out, "Only 10 million, I will see him, I will see him. In only 10 million births, I will see him." And when Lord Chaitanya saw what a grateful heart he had, that he was glad, he was in ecstasy, that such a priceless realization as seeing Lord Chaitanya would be given to him in only 10 million births, such a small price for such a great thing, he was so happy that Lord Chaitanya immediately embraced him and started giving him all benedictions. Do you have that patience? Do you understand the value of the darshan of the Lord? We should cultivate these sentiments. We shouldn't complain, "Only 5 years and I'm still not a pure devotee?" We should be willing to go on however long Krishna wants us to go on, just trying to please him and serve him. First of all, if a person is given a birth where he cannot speak, that is generally understood to be a karmic consequence that that person has so grossly misused his power of speech that it's been taken away. Nothing happens by accident. But even in such a situation, if that person is sincere, if Krishna says, "One who remembers me at the time of death," chanting is a process of remembering, but you can also chant in your mind. If you have a tongue, you must use it to chant. But if you have no tongue, you could chant the name of the Lord in your mind and achieve the same destination. So that person is not exempt. But he could see Krishna. We have eyes, but we cannot see Krishna. Suradas was blind, but he could see Krishna. We have 20/20 vision, but we cannot see Krishna. Evil. Krishna does not appear in our tongue because of the quality of our tongue. Krishna appears the quality of our sincerity and our devotion. He appears in His name on that basis. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was in his last days in this world, the devotees invited a very, very sweet, wonderful kirtan singer to sing for him. And he invited someone who was not very known for good voice. He didn't have bad voice, he just had regular voice. But the other person had a wonderful voice. But he wanted to hear from this person, because he was chanting with great sincerity and devotion. Everything is based on that, our sincerity and our devotion. And part of sincerity and devotion is that whatever we do have in our facility is we use it to the best possible way to please Krishna. But if we have nothing, that is not a disqualification. We still have our sincerity and devotion. And that's everything. Whatever we have is just enough to get Krishna. If we have the power to speak, we have to give it all to Krishna to get Krishna. If we have the power of intelligence, we have to use it all to get Krishna. If we have material wealth, we have to use it all to get Krishna. But whatever we have is just enough for Krishna. If we have nothing but a sincere desire, that's enough to get Krishna. Hanuman was lifting mountain peaks, and the squirrel was just kicking pieces of sand. We were just at that place, Setu Bandha, Rameshwaram, where Hanuman was putting mountain peaks in the ocean right there, where we were taking our bath, and the squirrel was kicking little pebbles, and Hanuman told the squirrel to get out of his way, and Ram told him that he's doing as much as you. The world sees that you're building a bridge with mountain peaks, and the squirrel is doing nothing. But as far as I am concerned, Ram told Hanumanji, he's doing the best he can and you are doing the best you can. Therefore you are equal. That is devotion. Now you're young, you're strong, you have to use all your youth and vitality for Krishna. That is how you get Krishna. But soon you will become very old and you'll have big thick glasses, and your limbs will be aching, and your memory may begin to fail. But if you are serving with all sincerity, then that is not. What is your question?
Should we decorate very opulently, and even if we feel that the jewelry and crowns are a bit heavy, lots of decorations and stones, or should we decorate them more simply?
You should decorate them nicely. opulence is, we want to give Krishna opulence, but we have to give it to him in a nice way, not in a insensitive way. We should offer Krishna the best opulences we can, but we should do it in a nice way. If you have an opulent necklace, if you have 10 opulent necklaces, you can offer one or two or three a day. You don't have to offer all 10 every day. Because it's not that Krishna is like a person. Krishna is a person. No doubt he could lift Govardhan Hill, so he can also hold your jewelry. But Mother Yashoda was not thinking like that. We should decorate Krishna. Part of opulence is with sensitivity of what pleases Krishna. We shouldn't dress Krishna for our pleasure. We should dress Krishna for his pleasure. We do not know how to please Krishna without the help of Guru. We approach Krishna through the instruction of Guru. By following the instruction of Guru, we make Guru happy, and automatically Krishna is happy. And because Krishna is happy, the Guru becomes happy. Guru's point of view, he's happy when you make Krishna happy. But from your point of view, you make Krishna happy by serving the Guru's instruction. When the Guru sees that you're serving his instruction, it's not his instruction, it's Krishna's instruction. But he's delivering to you Krishna's instruction. So when the Guru sees that you are serving faithfully Krishna's instruction that he's giving to you, and he knows you're pleasing Krishna, and he becomes happy. You understand that? The Guru is never happy because you're making him happy. The Guru is only happy because you're making Krishna happy. But he's giving you the way to make Krishna happy by giving you Krishna's instructions. And when he sees you're serving the Guru's instruction of Krishna happy, he becomes happy. And Krishna becomes happy. And then you become happy. And then all the nice devotees become happy. We cannot approach Krishna directly. We are eternally the servant of the servant of the servant. even in the spiritual world. In conjugal ras, only Radharani approaches Krishna directly. Everyone else is the servant of her servants. In Vatsalya ras, only Nanda and Yashoda approach Krishna directly. Everyone else is the servant of her servants. In Sakya ras, only Balaram approaches Krishna directly. All the other cowherd boys are the servants of the servants of his servants. So we are eternally servant of the servant of the servant. And in this world, that service comes through hearing submissively and serving the instructions of our spiritual master.
Krishna consciousness is definitely a higher taste than the worldly pleasures. And he also knows that if the fall down occurs, he will be in a very miserable condition. But still the fall down occurs sometimes. Why
we fall down? Generally, we fall down due to false pride. If we are humble, we will not fall down. Due to previous conditionings, we have so many tendencies to fall down, no doubt. And sometimes due to these previous conditionings, we slip from the path. But if we're humble, Krishna will pick us right back up. But if we're proud, he'll smash us way, way down until we give up our pride. Trinarapi sunitrinataroli
Krishna Manina manadena kirtaniya sarahari
Haribo. Everyone would like prasad? That is what you all came for. I'm just delaying prasad to increase your appetite. So that you can enjoy Satyavati Devi's nice cooking with more enthusiasm. I'm testing your patience. Thank you very much. Thank you all.